put phone on do not disturb.
Oh, card games. Okay, cool. Now I'm caught up.
You've got up and down the river. You've got you got plenty of anecdotal.
Old school Samba. Remember playing Samba?
No.
Maybe, yeah, you might have been too young when we started playing that one.
Look, probably.
It's kind of like a save it for it's kind of like sexy 500.
Whoa. We have sexy Yahtzee and now sexy 500. Is there anything this podcast can't
sexify? Sexify. Is
it? Oh, God. I think that's a perfect place to bring all the audience in. I think. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Sexify.
Now is the perfect time to bring it in. Gentlemen, and welcome to the Board Game Gateway Podcast, your entryway into the world of board games, tabletop games, and good times.
And sexification.
Oh, God.
This podcast has a rating of sexified.
We told you we'd be different in 2023.
His dulcet tones have been gone for 2 weeks.
18 plus.
30 seconds. He's already off-railed us. And my name is Neva, and I am your host for this evening. Joining us for the third time this season, Ralph. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
The first time this season, Matt.
G'day.
And for the first time ever, we have a guest, Anthony. Welcome, mate.
Hey, welcome. Thank you very much.
There, you are more than welcome. Anthony is Ralph's cousin. He's going to be joining us in this very special episode tonight because we are theming this one all around the idea of card games. We've talked board games galore, and we have brought up games that do involve cards, but tonight we thought we'd center it around the deck of 52 cards. I thought we'd do that, and primarily it came about because of our gateway game this week, which is going to be, we're going to have a chat about Scout, and we thought, well, why not, let's not just talk about Scout, let's talk other card games, and Anthony has got some very good stories, and he taught myself and Ralph, I'll retort Ralph a game, which we'll talk about later in the podcast. But Matt, I've got to say, mates, welcome back. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I must say, I miss your laugh. Like, that was really good. There he is.
It's been quite a sad January as well, so it's good to laugh again.
Well,
it hasn't. I'm just bullshit. Yeah, it's actually been a pretty good year so far.
Trying to pull at the empathy strings of that.
Yeah, it's like I'm watching MasterChef right now or something. What's going on?
We just need like that, like, you know, the piano chord, exactly. Like the sustained the piano chord.
The forgetting Sarah Marshall bit, yeah.
In the arms of an angel playing over. Give me that crap.
look, we could bull crap all night, but I think we should get into some games. What do you reckon?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Like, when I first heard we were doing the card game podcast, the first thing I did was get on the phone with my cousin Anthony because he's a person that I play every single card game I have with. Every time I find a new card game, I'm like, I can't wait to show Anthony this game. Like, it's just the best thing. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. We play a lot together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
And why Anthony in particular?
Oh, look, Anthony's a really good person in general.
Top guy. Just... Top guy.
I would say it has something to do with the name, but I'm not entirely sold on that.
Hey, there's two of us here now. Yeah, you know. Want your turn, buddy.
Shit, what did I do?
Now there are two of them.
Yeah. I'm seeing double. Four Krusties.
No, but like, do you and Anthony have a history of playing just the smaller box games rather than the bigger box games? Is that why, or...?
Yeah, look, Anthony does dabble in some bigger box games. You know, I have to admit, it's pretty selective, the bigger box games that I show Anthony. Like, I wouldn't put him into Twilight Imperium or anything like that. But in saying that, he owns Treasure Island, so there you go.
Man after my own heart. Love me some Treasure Island. And you also did just introduce him to Longshot on the other weekend.
Yes, we did.
Yes. Yeah, that was a fantastic, fantastic game.
Yeah, what did you think?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's quick, it's simple, easy to learn.
Exciting.
Gets the bet on a horse race. I mean, it's everything 100%. You could want.
It's like glorified gambling.
Exactly.
It's
right.
Good.
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, no one was on Gamblers Anonymous after that, so that was good.
If they were, you wouldn't know. It's anonymous, right?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They're like, I'm addicted to this board game.
look, just don't show him Ready, Set, Bet, okay? I think...
Actually, one of my cousins in particular, if I show him Ready, Set, Bet, he'll be hooked on it, eh?
Basically, it is literally just... Horse Race, the board game.
Yeah.
Literally, it's betting on a horse race, the board game. We talked about it last week episode, so we won't bore our listeners with the story again. But if you want to go and listen to that about what Ready, Set, Bet is, that is in episode 23 of the podcast last week. So, but let's get into the meat and potatoes of this week's episode, shall we? Let's have a chat. We're going to start with our board game, our gateway game of the week, I should say, this week, which is Scout. This is a very, very new release. It's based from a Japanese designer as well. Ralph, this is your one, so I'm going to let you take it away with the general concept of Scout and what it is and how it plays.
Sure thing. So this is a game that I first heard from people at Gen Con this year, and it was another game that I immediately pre-ordered. And I must say, it took forever to get here, and as soon as I got it, I think I came over and we unboxed it straight away and just dive straight in.
Yeah.
None of us knew how to play. I think Matt was there too, and we just literally learnt it on the spot. We fumbled through it. But Scout is a card game. I'm not too sure how many cards there are. It looks like it's about 40 or so there. But the difference of the cards is there's actually two numbers on each card. They're different colored, so they're very noticeable as to which color is which. But some cards will have a 5 at the top of it and then an 8 below it. And what you're trying to do is, game similar to 13, you're just trying to play a card and then the next player has to beat that card. So if I played a 5, someone else could play a 6. But if I played a run like a 5, 6, 7, someone else could play a 7, 8, 9 and beat it and take those points in the middle of the previous cards that you beat. The object of the game is a couple of things. First off, most points wins. How do you get points? By beating cards in the middle. Or if you played a card and someone else likes the look of that. So say I played a card that has a 9 at the top and a 3 at the bottom. Someone else can look at that card and go, you know what? I might scout that card. And what scouting is picking up any card you want in the middle, from the left or the right of the run, that is, if it's a run. But you pick up the card, you can now orientate it. So instead of a 9, you can make it a 3 in your hand, put it anywhere in your hand you want, and then now you have a run of, say, 1, 2, 3. And the reason why scouting is so important, you do give someone else a point when you do that, but the reason that's important is because when you pick up your cards at the start of the game, you actually can't order the cards in your hands.
I hate that rule. I hate that rule.
I love it.
I hate it with a passion because my brain just is just so used to getting cards and ordering it. I look at it, I'm like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So I've had this game for maybe 3 weeks now, and I've taught this game to a lot of people in my life already. It's just insane how quick people are just drawn to a card game very easily, I find. And if it's simple to learn and hard to master, it gets people hooked. And there's a lot of strategy in this game, because you can play, say you play 4 8s and no one can beat that. That's actually the best hand that you can possibly play. Everyone else at that point, the round is over, and everyone else's hand, any cards they have, is minus points. So you're just trying to get the most points out of, say, 3 or 4 rounds, depending on the number of players you're playing with.
I think the best thing, or one of the things I love about this, is that it's, as soon as you do master those rules, it feels like you're always one hand away, one move away from the win. That's why you come back to it. Every time we've played, someone's finished, and I've gone, one more, and I would have had that.
So close.
Yeah. Let's go again. Do it again. It's gambling. I think I am a gambler at heart.
I think so.
Yes, you are. We already know this.
Yeah. Open that loot box, mate.
What I do love about Scout is, so as you did mention, that we fumbled through our way through that teach about 3 weeks ago, right? But the game itself, the rule book is a bit hard to understand at the start when you're kind of trying to understand the nuances of what we're actually trying to do. But once the game clicks, it's like, oh, it's very simple. I literally just beat the hand in front of me, or I take the card and give them a point. But as you said, there is a bit of strategy here, which is that you could throw out big hands early in the hope that people will either do one of two things. Will either scout your cards to give you bonus points, but you have to be careful about how you're doing that, because then you don't leave yourself anything at the end of the game. And what's very important about this is that any cards left in your hand at the end of the round are negative points. So you want to be either the one who wins the whole round, in which case whatever cards you have in your hand are worth nothing. It doesn't matter. That's good. But if you play too early or too hard, it's like you're almost picking a moment to play what I'm aiming for. It's like, oh, no, it's too early to play that at the moment. Oh, crap, Matt just played Ralph just played a six card straight, and now I need the other guys to start scouting to bring it down enough so that I can beat it. So this is on the box as well. It's actually a bit... it's a liar. It has the symbol for the Spiel des Jahres, but it's not the winner. It's just a three-time nominee. It didn't win, and it put the symbol on there. I feel like there should be like a modified thing there.
A disclaimer there.
I wonder what card game did win, because this is pretty good.
Well, what game won? It'd be very interesting. So yeah. The Spiel des Jahres, if you have not listened to this podcast or know anything about board games, is essentially the board game that is the...
It's like the Emmys of board games.
Yeah, it is. It's basically... It kind of is, it's not as real.
The designers dress up. They've got a red carpet for the designers. Exactly right. Yeah, it's just tiles. It's red tiles.
Well, wow. Patent pending.
Yeah. That's a good joke.
I love it. I love it.
Tune in.
No, yeah. Like, if you don't know it, it is...
And here come the meeples getting out of the limos.
Mr. and Mrs. Meep. It's Meep now. Why? Mind your damn business. That's why. that award is literally the best game that is easiest to teach. So you have to be able to teach it within like 5 minutes and get playing. So the fact that it has been nominated does speak to how easy this game is to play.
Yeah.
Anthony, you play a lot of trick-taking games and aren't, like, you know, not as huge into the board gaming scene, but as someone who does play a lot of card games, how did you find when you picked up this game and got taught it? Like, how did you find the game, your first initial impressions?
Well, look, I just taught the game now just before the podcast, and it's really simple to pick up, right? The rules are basic. There's not really much to it, but like Ralph said, it's very simple but hard to master. So you kind of want to play again and again and again. Mm. The only thing is you just don't know how to play. You don't know whether you go hard early or whether you keep your cards in your hand and hopefully people don't best you before you go.
I've been caught out too many times trying to make the perfect run and someone's just beaten me to the punch. Yeah. I just can't do anything with what's in my hand. And it is like a little bit frustrating because they're like, oh, you have to scout, but I don't want to. But like, you have to. It's what you do on your turn.
It's kind of annoying, but it's also really good. Like when you have to, like when you start playing cards in the early game, a lot of people, what they're trying to do is they're actually playing cards out of their hand because you said you can't order your cards. So you'll see, oh, I've got a little bit of a run brewing here, but I've got this one card in the way.
So you want to play that one.
So I'll play that one card. However, that sometimes can be good, but then you're also giving a victory point to your opponent if they just go, well, it's one card, I can beat it. So do I instead take the victory point, give my opponent a victory point, but then keep increasing the size of my hand in the early game and try to attack them with a lot of big hands later on and get me a lot of... And this is why this game is really good. I found that, especially that first game we played, after that first round, we all went, huh, that's not how I thought this game would play. We played the second round and we went, oh God, I get it. I understand this game is supposed to
this
play.
This one's going to come back a lot.
and it has. It's great. I mean, it plays about, I would say, about 5 to 6 minutes per player because you have to play as many rounds as there are players.
Because it's 2 to 5 players and you're just like you said, you play the amount of rounds as per players you have. Funny story, people at my work are actually really addicted to this game now. They kind of like poke me on the shoulder during lunch and go, Ralph, do you have Scout? And I'm like, yeah, I've got Scout.
So you introduced them to the game?
Yeah, I introduced them to the game about 2 weeks ago. And now, honestly, every second, third day, this is out in the kitchen. Someone's asked to borrow it for a bit. I played around with my boss and literally it was in the team. So there's like 5 of us in the team and my boss was playing. You can tell he's the type of guy that's a little bit impatient with card games, like a little bit like trigger happy in a way.
Yeah.
And he played a card, but when he played a card, what he did, he flipped the card as he played it. And all 4 of his staff saw what he did, and we all looked at each other. No one wanted to say anything.
Who's going
to
be the one?
Pay reviews in 2 weeks, everyone. Keep your mouth shut.
But you know what we did? We all got back on our teams and we just went, he cheated, didn't he?
You know what? You all took one for the team and I think I appreciate that.
The thing is, I think my boss was testing us.
You know, none of you got the promotion because none of you showed me.
You're all yes men, aren't you?
Yes.
Fail.
So look, it is produced by Oink Games, and Oink Games, I believe, are based, I think, are they Japanese?
It's a Japanese publisher. Yeah. And firstly, I want to get this reaction. Anthony, how much do you think this game cost me?
It's simple. There's not much to it. I'm going to say like $20.
It's $40.
$40.
$40.
$40
for a second card. Jeez. Yeah.
He almost left.
And some card. And some cardboard. Absolutely.
Mate, $40 is how much I pay for Captain Sonar.
Look, I'm not really in the game board, like the board game market, so I don't know what these games cost.
Look, it will come down in price. The thing is, though, this is a brand new game. Ralph did get it one of the first. He pre-ordered it, so he was basically playing, paying for the convenience of having it first.
Yeah.
In saying that, though, it's like you could very easily print and play this, and you could very. But yeah, look, we haven't even really even. You know what's really interesting though is that we haven't even really touched on the theme of Scout.
No, it doesn't.
And this is the thing
it.
About the game, which is that I like the theme, but I don't think it adds anything to the like. The theme of Scout is like, okay, we're all circus masters, and we want to bring
the best
act to our circus tent. And we can either do that by scouting different acts, like as taking the cards, or we can present our act to the general populace and see who's got the best act. And so, like, each card has got, like, a name on it. So this is, you know, Oliver. And Oliver is a juggler, right? So Oliver, but Oliver could also be a trapeze artist. Ooh, right, because he's number 9 is trapeze, number 4 is juggling, number 10 is being shot out of a cannon,
so,
right?
Anthony, are you a singer or a clown?
I'll take the clown.
You'll take the clown.
I am the singer. There we
You're
go.
The singer.
I
there was, you go. We've got both of them here.
That's fair enough. But, and so I will say though, this theme, it kind of makes sense, but really it's just kind of like a pastel-y color, bright,
I think,
you know, different color.
The only thing that makes
colors.
Sense is the actioning of Scout. Like you know, scouting I like someone. That performer. I'm going to scout his talent into my circus.
Yeah, yeah. Look, that does the mechanic does make sense in terms of the theme of it, but like realistically, it's just a deck of cards that have got numbers, and the mechanic of, well, okay, whatever I present to you, you can whittle down my my hand or my act is actually a really interesting take on that format, which is that. It really does. So there is one action that everyone does have, which is you do have one as bonus action, which is scouting and showing, but you can only do that once per round. And that is very powerful because it's like when you decide to use that means that I'm going to give 1 point potentially to my opponent, but then I can also grab the rest of the points that I need to as well. But like the first game that we played, negative points abound. Like you can, there's very easily, if you're not careful here, you can grab a whole bunch of negatives and go really low on that point. I think, you know, one of you finished on like -5 or something in one round. Or yeah.
Thank you for bringing it up. Thank you.
No,
don't worry. I went so low, I called Beyond Blue because that was the
very first game that we played. I believe Ralph went -9 points or something in one round. It was
pretty
like,
bad.
It was pretty bad. But that's the game, right? It's so simple. It plays in a box. It's a relatively quick teach. It took us 5-6 minutes to kind of get it going, and then you play 4 rounds. I mean, what before we close out this section of the podcast? I mean, what do you? Yeah, what do you think of this game? Do you recommend it? Matt, we'll go to you first. Highly
recommend it.
Yeah.
Look, coming back to the thing, I actually think whilst the theme itself isn't necessary, it is a clever way of working the theme into this particular type of game. But yeah, as you said, every time we've played this, actually just the way we played this before we started recording was the first time I'd had a hand where I had nothing on either side. No runs, no doubles, no nothing. Every other time I've had, okay, cool, I can at least bank on making a larger hand at some point. And I had no idea how I was going to get through that round at all. Like, I have to do so much work just to get a decent set in this damn head. I still didn't damn win, but that's all right. But as I said, highly recommended. I think we need a couple more copies so that we can teach various other people, especially if it's sitting at Ralph's work most days.
Pretty much. I think work needs to expense a copy themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, love it.
Just don't let your boss be the one who has to pay for it, because who knows where that card's get what account that's one's coming out of. Who knows?
$40 petty cash.
Yeah. Look, I think from all of us here, I think it's a big thumbs up, big recommend. It literally plays in like 25 minutes maximum. There's a lot here in such a simple box, and we still haven't scratched really most of it. You start feeling like you start reading each other and you start going, oh, he's setting up for a big play, and you're like, okay, I've got to go. And like
yeah,
there's
that,
a lot
like that last this. Game we played, everyone was scouting cards, and I was like, oh, someone's going to explode all over this table, I could just see it.
Yeah, it's one of those, I don't know, it highly recommend it. I do think $40 is a lot of money for someone who may be going, I don't know if I really like card games. I'd probably go for that person, like, you know, maybe just hold off, maybe see if
you can find someone. Yeah, but on the replayability, you get your money's worth.
Yeah, I do think you get it, but like, if you're not big into card games, $40 for a box of what is essentially cards is kind, like, it does have the tokens for scoring, yes, but realistically, it's all about the card play. And if that's not your cup of tea, I don't know if I would see anyone who's not a card player enjoying this. If you don't like the idea of playing cards and figuring out what your opponents have got and trying to figure out the best timing, this may not be the game for you. But if you like any sort of card game, this definitely is one to get. It's so good. It's really freaking good. So, look, big thumbs up from all of us here. But speaking of card games and, you know, moving on from Scout as our board game gateway of the week, we are just kind of going to have a chat for the next half an hour, 40 minutes or so, just in terms about general stories of card games and anecdotes that we may have. I mean, look, with the reason we invited Anthony into this one is, Ralph, as you said, you know, you've been playing card games, and Anthony, you've been saying that, you know, you love these card games as well. But one of the things that Ralph told us was that you actually play some board games, or some card games, competitively, which we thought, well, we definitely have to get you in here and have a chat about that. I mean, and so the one that which you kind of taught to us tonight, and retaught Ralph, which was Briscola, which is an Italian trick taking game as well. So you've played that one quite a bit.
Yeah, 100%. So just to set the record straight, I don't play competitively. Just play for fun with family and friends.
He just wins all the time.
Not all the time, most of the time. But now we've been playing this game for a long, long time.
Ralph's eyebrows go that high. Say,
can you put the air conditioning on, please, Dave?
It's a bit hot in here, is it?
Not all the time.
He's being modest.
No, not all the time. But we have been playing it for a very, very long time. Right? We grew up playing it with our grandparents. That's what they taught us. And that's all we used to do.
Yeah. So the game that we played tonight actually is one that has been relatively new, introduced to me, but is one of, we wanted to have a bit of a chat about it because it's one that you've played quite a bit, which is Briscola, which is an Italian-based card game, trick-taking game.
Using Italian cards.
Using Italian cards. So if you, look, I think I'm going to put you on a little bit on the spot here, but can you tell us in the best, what is Briscola, and how, and give us a basic overview of how you play this game?
Okay, Briscola is probably one of the best card games, hands down, in my opinion.
Are you only saying that because your grandparents listened to the podcast?
Could you imagine?
There probably is a bit of bias, there, a bit of emotional attachment, right? Yeah, like, even Ralph knows, we brought up being, you know, playing these kind of games. But it is a really, really good game. It's quick, it's simple. It's just it's a really top game. So the gist of it is this. Everyone knows the Italian cards? It's a deck of 40.
No, he doesn't. Matt does not.
Yeah, I had never heard that there
were. You haven't seen this before?
No.
Okay, I'll give this to you.
I'm still confused.
Imagine our audience has not seen this before.
So can I tell you what I think they are?
And by all means. Insult our culture, Matt.
I'm going to insult Italy all at once. Okay, that's the caveman, obviously, with his club. Right?
So is that a king?
That's the king of clubs?
Yes.
With his club? Okay, cool.
Yep. That sounds like normal cards, doesn't it?
That's right, normal cards.
That is the.
I got no idea. He's another king.
Yep. That's right.
Of what?
Of stars? I don't know.
Close. Suns.
Give me the money.
Technically, the sun is a star.
The sun, right. But it's also technically can also be. I've Thanks heard it's been that. Referred to as the money, as like so as the coins. So the king of coins.
Another king. Cool. I'm assuming a queen.
Yep.
I don't know what of. She's got.
What's she holding, Matt?
Palms? Leaves?
No, this one.
Oh, swords?
Yeah, correct. She's the queen of swords.
So why she got leaves in her head?
I don't know.
These crazy Italians.
Olive tree, I don't know.
So
she's extending an olive branch is what
five
she's doing.
Of swords, five of swords,
that is correct. Yes. And you've got the
and
final
cups.
Suit. Yeah, the cups.
Okay, so, cool. So these are the suits.
They're the four suits.
So the Italian deck of cards
setting
consists
up solitaire
of
now.
The Italian deck of cards consists of these. It consists of a two.
That's so phallic.
I'm gonna do them in the order from lowest to highest. You ready, Matt? Here we go. Ready?
Sorry.
2, 4, 5, 6, 7. Queen, horse, king.
Horse? What? Oh shit! There's
queen,
a horse here.
Queen, horse, king, 3, ace.
Perfect.
Do you know the Italian names for the cards?
Yes.
I just know cavallo, but I don't know the king and the queen.
Yep. So the horse is the cavallo.
Yep.
The king is the re, and the queen is the donna.
La donna.
Yeah, the Donna.
Oh, okay, cool. She's
Not the Donna, La Donna. Yeah, there you go. Come on,
that's right.
Yeah, come on.
Can you like play a card like Nonno used to play it? Like when he had a good.
Between the thumb and the knuckle of the index. That's how you hold it. Never. Or like...
So the harder you hit it on the table, the more points you get.
Of course.
I don't want to break your table just in case.
Yeah, he's going to chop it in half.
But that's how it works.
Greeks would like break plates. Italians would break tables.
they're just playing cards. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. That's
nothing
all
to worry about.
They'd be breaking tables just trying to explain the counting system of these damn things.
Yeah,
there's a horse in there for goodness sake.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's worth less than a three.
How is correct. It?
It's just in this particular game.
Oh, that's right.
There's a few games you can play.
Yeah. Okay.
There's some games. There's a game called Scorpor, which the cards are just like that's a three.
Right.
That's pretty.
But we're still four suits essentially.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
Four suits.
Go on with the game.
Four suits, 10 in each of them. They just got different point values. That's what you need to know.
Right.
Correct.
So what is
and then what happens?
Okay.
After the confusion, what happens?
So we know the cards that we're dealing with now, right?
Yeah.
And we know what each of them are worth.
Yeah, mostly table slapping and hand gestures.
Essentially. Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
There is communication in this game.
Of course there is.
So what will happen is everyone's dealt three cards. So we'll play on teams. Mm-hmm. So we play four.
So it's teams of two.
So it's teams of two, and your partner's always diagonal. So you'll be mine, and Ralph will be with Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Ralph will get three, you'll get three.
How do you like your
Anthony
chances
will get
there,
three,
then?
And I'll get three.
Look,
okay,
I think we're okay.
So
we're
what
okay.
will happen is one card goes face down in the middle,
face up,
and that's or face up in the middle. Sorry, and that's the Briscola. Okay,
it's like
the trump card.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay. So what happens the first round? You don't talk. No one talks. You're not allowed. That's part of the rules.
See, it was meant to be the whole game, but it's an Italian game, so it's just the first round.
That's exactly
so
right.
It's the most we could be quiet.
You know what? I understand why there's no talking in the first round, because they break too many tables.
After the one round, it's like, don't hurt my table. What are you doing?
They tried to do two rounds, and then a war broke out.
We better
change that rule.
So what happens is we always go anti-clockwise.
Uh-huh.
So Anthony would go first. Okay, so Anthony can put down any card he wants.
Absolutely.
Okay. So he can either put a Briscola down or he can put a card of any other suit. Now, if he puts a card of any other suit, that suit is the key suit.
The lead suit.
Yeah, right. I'm going to follow.
And you need to follow or...
Oh.
Right, or you put the Briscola.
No. There is no following suits in Briscola.
You don't need to follow
suits. Oh, you don't have to.
If you do and you play the higher one, you're going to take the trick.
Yeah.
Okay, well, your team
or if you play a trump.
Or you play a trump.
The highest.
So the trump suit in Briscola is referred to as the Briscola. So that if you hear Anthony saying, you know, if Matt throws the Brisk down, it means that you threw a trump down on top of whatever I was doing.
Okay. Okay, so what's the catch?
There's no catch.
The way you score
points at the end of the game is, so for every hand or trick that you win, I take a collection of all those cards. Then the 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7, they're worth nothing. They're worth no points at the end of the round. The round ends, so we start with three cards. We each play a card, then starting with the winner, we each draw a new card. So the deck of cards that's in the center will eventually run out.
Mm.
And when that deck of cards runs out, then the round is over.
Yep.
Mm. You then have a look at whatever your collection is. So whatever I've won, I take the collection. And then we count the points. So 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 are worth 0. The queen is worth 2.
Oh, okay. So you're actually wanting to be winning hands that other people have played point cards in.
Correct. So the queen is
worth... That's the trick then.
Yeah.
Okay.
The queen is worth 2. The horse or the jack is worth 3.
Mm, okay.
The king is worth 4. Mm-hmm. The 3 is worth 10 points. And the ace is worth 11 points.
This is worse than tennis.
Yeah, it's just like...
What's going on?
It's just like,
so does that make sense?
Is the answer A, B, B, A, C, B, also...
Or D, your mum.
La donna.
Wrong.
Okay, cool.
Wrong, it's this.
So you want to win the trick that has high value point cards.
The thing is, right, say you're the first player, you don't know what's going to go in the trick.
Correct.
So it's a bit hard, but it is a team game.
So
you can talk with your partner.
Correct.
Who will have the second act after you.
So what will happen is you can talk, but you don't want to talk too much because then your opposition knows what you've got.
Yeah.
So we use signals.
So you do develop a language.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So you do signals.
That's where the hand gestures come.
I'm very glad right now that Ralph isn't diagonal from you, because I guarantee you, Anthony, I'd be like, what the hell is going on at the moment? They've got a whole language down that we don't understand.
That slap was 42.3 decibels exactly. I know exactly what I need to play. Oh, God.
Yeah. So what are your signals?
So what the signals are. So we've only got signals really for the main ones, okay? So the ace is... What's the ace? The ace is the nose, like this.
He's just pinching the nose.
It's kind of like pinching the nose.
I love it. I love this game actually encourages table talk, because so many other games, like bridge and whatnot, it's like, no. Like, if you're playing professional bridge internationally, they legitimately have got, like, barriers so that you're not allowed to see your opponent at all, right?
This is the complete opposite.
I've never seen that. Are you trying to decode your opponent's language during the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, so I've got to communicate to Matt.
Yeah.
While trying to do it without you noticing. So while you're talking, I'll be like this, and then he'll know I have the ace.
Yeah. So you're
so if he's got a high card, or if he's forced to play, he knows I can take.
Yeah. Okay. So you're confident you're going to win the cards in the middle, whatever your partner throws.
So if Matt's stuck and he's got three high cards,
yes,
he doesn't want to lose points. I'll be like, look, I've got you covered.
Yes. Yeah. So you're flaring your nostrils to indicate.
Is that flaring?
If I've got the three, if
you're just raising the bridge. That's okay.
If I've got three of the clubs, I'll let rip. Let rip one.
How many three of clubs you got?
I'm just gassy today.
Yeah, no, and so, but that's the game. It's like, it's basically, at its core, it's a trick-taking game.
Yeah,
but correct. Where a lot of the conventions of a normal trick-taking game that we'd be used to, like 500, Euchre, those kind of trick-taking games, is like, the first thing that blew my mind was like, you don't have to follow suit.
Yeah.
That was the first thing, because it's like,
it took a bit to break past that.
Exactly right. And so because you don't have to follow suit, it actually means that leading a suit is not as good as you think it is. So you have to rewire your brain, because normally in games like 500, leading a suit is sometimes really good, because if I lay the ace out and I've got the ace and the king and I've got some high cards, if I know that I think that there are a couple of other big cards out there, I can just start leading one suit knowing that I'm going to clean up this suit and keep going what I need to do. Whereas in Briscola, it's like, that doesn't happen, right? Like, so long as what you're actually trying to do is you're trying to force out the big cards when you think people are holding big cards, because you're like, okay, well, I'm going to throw the six of swords out there, and then Ralph may go, crap, I actually need to get rid of, I've only got three face cards in my hand, so I've got to get rid of one of them. I'll get rid of the queen.
That's right.
So he throws the queen out there. He's like, yes, he's giving up 2 points, but I don't want to give up the three that's in my hand that's worth 10. You're trying to find the right time to actually throw out these cards, lead these cards.
That's tricky.
We played a three-player game.
It's a lot more complex than you started out, making it out.
It's very.
You'll get the hang of it real quick.
It's like normal, the three being in its position like throws people off, but then you realize, oh, like when I'm playing 500, you've got left and right Bower and the Joker, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, the Jacks are like actually the best, the second best card and the third best card in the game, so you'll be fine. You'll pick that up really quick. The actual what threw me off at the start though is that because they're all colored really well, so you got like the clubs. They're all like green, red, and like...
Yeah, very bright
colors.
But
it's actually not about... Like, you're looking for what they're holding. So it's like, oh, the queen's holding the sword. Therefore, she's the queen of swords. And then you've got, oh, the Jack is holding a bowl or a chalice. He's in the bowl suit, right? So it's actually... It's a bit
Here's
more
a question.
Like,
so, artistic. So more... And perhaps you guys don't know the answer to this, but where do the suits actually come from in Italian lore?
Well, these are Napolitana cards.
That's right.
Yeah.
But where they come from, I have no idea.
But like, what does that mean?
Southern Italy. So there's two types of Italian cards. One's from Northern Italy, one's from Southern Italy. These are the Southern Italy cards. Our family's from Reggio Calabria. It's a sort of a big town in the south of Italy, but there's a lot of little towns in between there and then. So growing up, our nonni always played these type of cards. In fact, I've bought the Northern Italy cards once and I was like, what is this? I've got a different deck here.
I made that mistake once as well.
Yeah, but
straight in the bin.
Straight in the bin.
Went out and bought another deck.
Can't use these.
My granddad's also south, from the south of Italy. I can't remember the town name and I really want to remember it, but like, he's very much, I have seen these cards in his house and I was like, these aren't normal cards.
Yeah, what's wrong with your cards?
What's wrong with your cards?
12 of them aren't even here.
Some missing, yeah.
Now I'm like, So now,
so funny. My wife's grandfather, they've got a set of cards. They're missing a cavallo, a horse. What we did, we just got a blank card and drew a horse and we just put it back in the deck.
That's all right. So to make an Italian deck of cards, if you have a regular deck, all you need to do is remove the 8, 9s, and 10s. You remove those out of the deck and then you've got yourself a 40 card.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do. You remove those and that's...
But Anth, you actually accomplished something last year with Briscola. What was that?
I did. So at our local club, there was a Briscola competition. So it was a $100 buy-in per team, per team of two, and it was a $10,000 prize pool. So first player got 5,000, second player got 3,000, and if you come third, you got the balance. You got 2 grand. I went in with my cousin Anthony, and there were 39 teams. So yeah, another Anthony.
It's the Italian name, mate.
There's so many Anthonys, hey.
Same Anthony. We're finding stuff everywhere, mate. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. So it was elimination. So you verse someone, so you play 7 rounds. The best of the 7 rounds goes to the next stage and the loser is just out. That's it. We won the best of 7 rounds and we actually took it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So much for Mr. I don't play professionally over here. I'd like everyone who has not won money playing card games, please raise their hand. Oh, wait, there's only one who has it.
It was the first and last.
No, but you're actually going to get a trophy soon.
Yes. That's March 26th.
There's going to be a ceremony. It's going to be girl, is that?
Yes. So I'd like to point out for the listeners at home who happen to live in the Sydney area and Matt as well, who doesn't know, he's talking about his local club. It's Marconi.
It's Marconi Club. You can literally buy their cards at the bar.
It's Marconi Club. So it's like...
There was such a long list of Italian clubs in my head as well. So.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, yeah, you know, the Marconi also, like, Club.
Yeah.
If you're going to play a
Bristol... I've gotten lost in that club so many times. Like, it just goes on forever. It's like a shopping center in and of itself.
It's big.
At least now you'll be able to stop by the tables and watch the games that are going on around the
place. I'm just looking forward to walking past the trophy cabinet in the front and seeing someone I know.
I know this guy.
Yeah, that's right.
But the thing is,
he owes me money. I don't know.
Only met him once or twice.
But you actually got to defend your trophy soon.
Yes, so we just found out today, believe it or not, that they're doing a second Briscola competition.
Oh.
And we didn't want to go back and we said, look, we'll keep the name clean. We've won 1 out of 1 and we won't tarnish the name.
I choose not to run.
And they've said, look, if you want the trophy, you need to come on the day. And if you come on the day, you need to play. So they've kind of got us between a rock and a hard place. So we're going to have to go and defend our title.
You really want that trophy. You know what? You're going to go back to back. You'll be fine. You go 2 for 2.
So you're going to be like the LeBron James card.
They're like, we're not running that ever again. These guys are too good.
So we're going to start practicing again.
But the thing is now, like, even at Christmas, you know, family gatherings and stuff, my dad just taps Anthony on the shoulder, good hard grasp, and goes, Anthony, we've got to play Briscola. We're going to beat you at Briscola.
Well, now we've got everyone, we've got a target on our backs.
Yeah.
Because like Ralph said, 100%, my uncle Cameron says, if I can beat you and you won, that means I'm the best. I said, well, wait a minute. Just hold up. That's not how it works.
The table when he said that.
So now everyone's big talking. But,
that's awesome.
And even at the beach, people are playing Briscola with him now.
Yeah. I will admit, like, now having taught me this game, I'm like legitimately, I know I...
You're going to enter the comp now.
No, well...
You're going to take the time.
You can see the appeal though.
I can. And, like, I know I've got a bit of rose-tinted, you know, new play glasses, but it was actually one of... Having played it just then when you... Like, I went and learnt the rules a bit first before we played, so I kind of understood what I was playing. And I was like, oh, yeah, I get what I'm doing here. Tricks, and I understand, okay, there's some cool little things going on here. But then when we played it, I'm sitting there going, oh, man, this is actually really good from a trick-taking perspective, because it actually changes a few of the things about trick-taking games that I didn't really... That sometimes I bounce off, and I sometimes feel like they're a bit... Okay, it feels...
It's like a novelty.
Yeah, not a novelty, but it also can feel like, okay, you know when someone's got the best hand. Mm. Well, the good thing about Brisk, with Brisk is that you only ever have 3 cards, and then we have to draw a new card.
They're hard decisions.
And there's like, it's like you are given, presented 3 options right now, but as you said, you were telling us before the podcast, Anthony, is there's actually a lot here because you can remember what cards have been played. You can understand how many point cards are still coming. You can understand if you've got a table talk between you and your partner.
Absolutely.
You can understand how many of those cards you're actually holding between you two.
And you can calculate the points in the game itself.
As it's going. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a lot here. And I think that's one of those reasons, like, when we were playing it, I kind of was just like, I felt it. I got why this game is, it is a, like, it's an old game. This is back from medieval, back from, like at least 500, 600 years old, this game. And I get why it's still, like, why it's still being played and why it gets passed down. We taught the game in less than 5 minutes. We're playing the game in plays in less than 15, 20 minutes. Stop making the cards in the podcast because we're especially not recording this one so they can't watch you do it, Ralph.
I just built a tent.
Matt wasn't pyramid. Here for the 2 weeks ago when we did kites and they had sand timers trying to make the sand timers.
I tried to stack all the sand timers while we were running, by the way.
That was funny. But yeah. The other thing on top of that as well, I actually really like these cards because they're actually a little bit different to standard playing cards. They're a bit smaller than normal. But actually,
a bit thicker, actually.
They are a bit thicker. So, like, I can't riffle shuffle these. So, like, I can do the riffle shuffle and bridge shuffle. Yeah. I can't really do them with these. Now, I don't know if that's because these are brand new. I don't know if you can normally shuffle them like that, but they are smaller. They do feel a bit more...
The cards tend to, like, we play with extremely old sets of cards. They loosen up, but not only that, they used to stick together.
Right, sucks. Okay. Mm.
I remember I watched like one of my favorite YouTube reviewers is called Shut Up and Sit Down, the two British guys, or the four of them now. They've expanded. They did a YouTube video a few years ago of top card games that don't suck.
Yeah.
And like this was on there.
Was it number one?
It was just in the list. It was number one.
I don't remember. I remember that episode, but I don't remember the card game.
Yeah, yeah. He brought up Briscola and he showed it off a bit, and I was just like, this is a guy all the way, like, he's closer to Italy than me. He's in England. But it just took me by surprise. I was expecting to see normal playing cards, and I was like, what's this card game from my childhood doing on here? Like,
yeah.
It just blew my mind. I was like, maybe I should revisit this.
Yeah. And look, this will be a game that I will be suggesting that we are going to be playing this after we finish recording tonight so we can teach Matt. And I'm almost 100% guaranteeing you will teach this to your mums.
I do have one question. Mm. We're playing in teams, but it's still only one person wins.
No, the team wins. We win together.
So your 5,000 was shared amongst you and
my partner.
Okay,
yeah.
Who was also named Anthony?
So
was his wife.
Yeah,
and his first son.
No, but like so that's Briscola, right? And but this brings up a really interesting like idea of like how you think back in your life and how many card games have you actually been introduced to. Like I've been introduced to so many different card games, 500, Euchre. Well, they all have a lot of very interesting and very similar sort of takes. They're all very trick-taking sort of games, but there's a lot of different strategy that comes around with all of them, right? That's why I think the cards are so unique.
They're so versatile.
And that's why in board gaming, you see them everywhere. Like the card, there are very few games that really get away from some sort of card variant, right? If you think about, let's take the Golden Gateway Trio, right? Carcassonne, Catan, and Ticket to Ride, right? The Golden Gateway Trio. Two of those three games have cards in them. One of the Ticket to Ride is literally just, here are all the different colored cards. They didn't have to be cards, but they were. They could have been tiles, but they're like, no, cards. And then you also think about Catan. All of the resources are cards. We're holding our hand and we're trading. And then Carcassonne is the only exception to the rule here of those three. It's like, it's no cards. It's just tiles. Pick a tile. Play a tile. But you think about the actual card themselves. They have such a cultural significance across so many different things across the world. Cards are literally have been around for millennia. As in one form or another, and we are getting all this enjoyment out of it. I mean, like, you know, let's take, I mean, we know we have the standardized 52 deck of cards now, but like someone, you know, someone turned the 52 deck of cards into Regicide, the cooperative game where we're all trying to defeat
the Jack, Queens and Kings.
Yeah, we're trying to defeat all the bosses to make it and get out of this, you know, kill them all, right? Yep. That's just played with 52 cards. And, I mean, the little trivia fact, I think, which if you haven't heard of it, is that if you take a deck of cards and you shuffle it, like three times or whatever it is, and you shuffle them so they are randomized, the order of those cards that you get from start to finish has never, ever, ever been seen before in the universe. In fact, there are more combinations. There are 52 repeating, so 52 52 factorial, which is 52 times 51 times 50 all the way down to 1.
Yep.
If you were to do that number, that is a bigger number than the amount of stars that are estimated to be in the observable universe. There are more card combinations in a 52 deck of cards than there are stars in the entire universe.
Well, clearly, that's not me shuffling the cards.
No, but that's the thing, right?
So, keep doing this rubbish.
Yeah, I keep getting the same cards.
They're mostly rubbish heads.
Yeah, right?
So that's one of the really cool things about cards is that they've been around for so long, and yet every time you shuffle a card, statistically, you are getting a brand new order of And so every game you play will be different.
Mm. Everyone says I shuffle shit, so I don't understand.
You're bouncing it out right.
Well, that's it. Look, there's so many bad shuffles as there are good shuffles, I think. But look, I mean, we've talked about Briscola and we've talked about Scout, but are there any games that you guys, or any fond memories you have? Like, you know, you kind of talked about, you know, your nonny and talking about like playing card games with your family. Do you have any memories that you want to share with the podcast as things that pop out to you? I mean, I'll start because I've just got one that I think I'll give you guys.
Yeah, off the top of your head,
go for it. So like playing card games was a massive part of my high schooling days. From year 11 and 12, our morning routine would literally be, especially in winter, go to the library, whip out the deck of cards and play 13. We'd play 13.
I used to play that a lot.
Actually, in my friend group, of the five of us, three of us were named Anthony. So, you know, so we had four of us that would play.
There was a fifth guy. He wasn't Anthony, so you were like,
He just went by Tony.
So we had five of us and we'd play 13. But we used to come up with, like, we had this idea of that if you could win three games of 13 in a row, you were entered into the club, right? The club was just the place where it was like the idea of, like, you know,
the elites.
But no, you wouldn't, like, everyone, if you won two in a, if you won two in a row, everyone was like, nah, I don't care who wins except that guy. And so one of the
get ganged up on.
But one of the boys, he didn't really like playing card games, but he loved being the dealer. So he just his name was actually Anthony too. Now that I think about it, like, he was a third Anthony, right? So, but
should we just leave, Matt?
Look, I want to know more about this dealer guy. Is he still dealing? Has he made a life out of this dealing, you say? And if he has, maybe the Fed should stop listening right now.
The joke that we used to make was that back before John Wick was a thing, we used to think of him as like the John Wick person at the hotel. Like, he'd just be the guy with like a shotgun behind the bar, serving up whiskeys, right? No one messes with the bar owner, because if you do, you're literally out of the club for good. He was Italian as well, so, you know, who knows? But for me, that was such a massive part of my life, because that was, like, us four boys, and five boys, actually, we used to just play cards, and we used to play 13, and it was... It almost feels like a language was developing between us all, because you started to understand certain combinations of play would normally mean certain things are happening. And as you said, Anthony, when we were talking about, you know, you're coming up with
the signals
and gestures for each other. Like, that's what I love about card games, especially. There seems to be like this other language.
You develop a common language.
But that was only spoken by us at the table. And I think that's something that was really cool. But what about you boys? Anything you can think of?
Yeah, sure. So I think there was a couple of games that Anthony and I had a lot of fun with, probably going back 10 years now, I'd say. But there's one game in particular that still comes up. It's a game called Kent.
That's a good game.
It's a good game.
I've never actually heard of Kent or played it, so never played or heard of it. So please
tell us. Have you played it, Matt?
No.
Heard of it?
No.
Tell us more.
Okay. Ralph, take it away.
Sure thing. He explained Briscola. So you can now explain
it. He did explain it quite eloquently. He's quite articulate with that one. Kent is played with a normal deck of cards. So the standard 52, 10,000 star, however many stars there are. That's that deck of cards. Give it a shuffle. Make sure it's never been seen before. And
check it against the database.
That's right.
And we're good. Okay.
And we're good. Now you can start playing Kent. So Kent, I believe what you do at the start is you actually leave the cards on the table and you walk away. It's a game played in teams of two. So there's four players. You walk away with your teammate and go, right, what's our hand signals?
Oh, you actually just go away from the table and do it.
Oh my God. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? Right. That sort of thing.
All right.
And then you come back to the table. And then I believe four cards are dealt to every player. Now, you're on a team with the person diagonal opposite you. And then four cards go face down in the middle.
Face up.
Oh, face up. Okay. And then they all get flipped face up. And then you just say, go. And then it's a free-for-all. Everyone can just grab a card. But the thing is, you can only have four cards in your hand.
Right.
So you're grabbing a card, throwing away the fifth card. Okay. And then someone else could pick that up. And then when all four players are like, okay, we're done, those four cards remaining in the middle get discarded and you go again with another four set of cards.
Right.
Now, the thing is, right, your aim is to get four of a kind in your hand.
Right.
Okay? Which is easy to do. But the thing is, you need to get your partner to say the word Kent when you have four of a kind in your hand. But the other team, if they say stop, mm-hmm. and you have four of a kind, yeah. they win.
Oh, no. Okay.
So you've got to have dummy signals. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah.
This sounds like Better Billionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is Billionaire?
Billionaire is a card game. Oh, God. What is... Okay.
Billionaire
is
you called, get four...
It used to be called Shouting the Card up. Game.
Billionaire is a game in which there are like nine different suits. And they are, and there are nine different suits. And
it's a different set of cards.
Different set of cards. Okay. But it's basically, there are nine different suits. Each of them are like, you know, tax. Not tax. There's like oil, and there's diamonds, okay. and there's shipping, and there's all this stuff. And it's a free-for-all trading game where someone is the in charge of the game, the banker, and the banker calls open market. And when the banker calls open market, it is literally just a game of us trading a la like the Wall Street. Like, I've got two shipping, who wants two shipping? And then someone else can say, yeah, I've got two shipping, I'll trade you two shipping. So what they do is you slam down your two shipping and they hand you two cards. So you're giving away cards whilst also trying to receive cards from other players in hopes of looking for something, right? So the game, but it's played in real time. So I could be just yelling out.
So is Kent.
I could be just like, I'm looking for four diamonds. Does anyone want to give me diamonds? Yeah, I'll give you diamonds if you give me oil. Yep, I'll take that thing. But then if I'm not fast enough, Anthony could come along and go, I'll take that deal, except I'll give you three. And so the training is like, it's literally Wall Street training.
It's literally just shouting the board.
The game keeps going until someone gets eight of all of their one suit in their hand, and when that happens, they just yell "billionaire" at the top of their lungs.
This sounds great.
And they slam down the thing.
They break the table.
It's quite a dangerous game to play.
Slap the table, break it in half, and then reveal what one they have. So let's say I have eight of shipping in front of my hand. I get $80 million, right? The every unit is $1 million, right? So I would get $80 million. And the first person is like, you play until like you hit 500 or a billion, depending on how long you actually want to play the game. The rub is there's two cards out there. There's the tax man. If you get the tax man in your hand, he is worth negative $50 million, right? So remember how I could say, I've got two shipping, and you go, yep, you can throw me the tax man as part of the deal. And then I give you two shipping, and now I've just received a tax man and a diamond, right? Oh crap, I need to get rid of this tax man, because if someone yells billionaire, I've lost the points.
Yeah, okay.
Then there's one other card called the billionaire. Now, the billionaire, he works in this way. If you are the one who yells billionaire for eight of a kind, you get that value.
Mm-hmm.
But the billionaire acts as a wild card. And if he can act as the eighth card for that run that you're looking for, so you can get that.
Okay.
However, you can also get double the value of the hand if you have the billionaire and all eight of that one suit in your hand. So if I go for the $100 million diamonds,
nice card,
right, and I yell billionaire and I've got all eight plus the billionaire, that's $200 million points towards my total, right?
This game sounds
awesome. If I have the billionaire and I don't yell billionaire, he's worth negative 50 million points again, right? So he's a risk, right? You want to have him because he's wild, but again, if I'm holding him in my hand, I don't know if I want him. But so this game is great. However, it does have a couple of rubs, which is, it just takes one player to take one of every single suit that's being played,
and
no one can finish anything. Although it has led to a couple of silly moments where you'll be shouting for about 4 minutes and you go,
"Someone's
doing it?" And everyone looks around and you just see one player pulling the card.
I know a few people that would do that just to mess with the game.
It's always Ralph.
Or Nick.
Yeah, but that's why if you're playing billionaire, you have to play with points. You have to give people something to work towards. Otherwise, there's no point in playing the game. They'll just be like, well, no one wants to trade with me stuff, and I'll just hold on to everything. Mm. But billionaire is just one of those card games that
works a lot better if everyone's had a couple of Red Bulls before. That's for sure.
Or you just,
because after 20 minutes, you're like, I can't do this anymore.
We played it as teenagers, and it was a great... It took us about an hour and a half to get through the whole game, but you were just like, oh, God.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
But, it was a lot of shouting, but it was actually a lot of fun because you just like... But you can make the game shorter or longer. You can say, we're only playing to 250 million points, right? Which is it sounds like a lot, but it's like, the top suit is worth 100 million. So if you get it, you're already three quarters of the way there. But, games are so cool because it's just...
so many different takes with just a deck of cards.
I mean, but Matt, like, your mum taught has basically, you know,
she's loves, a card game queen.
Yeah, she loves, like, Up and Down the River and all these kind of other trick-taking games.
She's also, I mean, I'm really interested to find out from you boys as well. Like you said, your grandparents taught you Briscola. Like, are they still with us, your grandparents?
No, they've since passed.
My mum's parents as well, who taught her all the games as well. Like, that's where it's definitely a family tradition, right? As much as board games, which we love, you can pass them down. It's a lot easier to pass down a deck of cards
and the knowledge,
of how to play a couple of games with them, because they're cheap as chips cards. So we play Up and Down the River, we play Fivesies. How many parties have we had where we play King's Cup as well?
Oh, God.
Which always ends in tears. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, like, I can still go over. My wife's still got her grandparents, and we go visit. If we stick around for a game of cards for 20 minutes, that makes their day.
Oh, yeah.
That makes their whole
weekend. Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's fantastic. We definitely feel closer to them when you bring this out.
It's probably the most cross-generational part of the gaming world, I'd say. Because everyone, it's not just, you know, like, adults can play it, but kids, there's so many kids' games as well that you've got access to that...
Snap.
Yeah, well, that's where it's teaching you not only how to play the cards, but it's, you know, the hand-eye coordination as well. I'm starting to go back onto my kids' educational bent, I suppose. But
no, that's okay.
But you are right.
But yes, and it's also, as you said, in... a couple of ways you're developing a common language with these games, but that is developing communication cross generations.
Well, you're also creating a bond with that person.
That's exactly
right.
Especially
in games like Briscola, where it's a team and you're working with flaring your nostrils together.
100%.
Yeah, that's a moment.
And we've come back across this theme in the cast last year, where gaming does that, right? Where gaming is, it's almost forcing a conversation to happen about some commonality. And cards is that to a T, but you're not... like it drives other conversations. How many, like, I've played so many games of like 500 or Samba or something where you've got 15 cards in your hand. It's an hour long game to get these ones out, but there's actual conversation happening at the table whilst you're concentrating on your cards, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a secondary action to be playing and using your hands to do something, but the interaction of the family or the friendship circle is the key to that game, and that's why people pass them down. Not that so much that the games are great, but because the memories are there, I think.
100%.
Do you feel closer to your nonny by keeping this game alive in our world?
When my cousin Anthony, we're both named after the same grandfather, and we won, both of us said, you know what, Nonna would have been really proud.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what we used to do. We had no money, and we used to play cards for hours, and it would have meant a lot to him.
It would have, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful memory. I really like that.
I think, like you think about it as well, like absolutely, because it's like, if he taught you the game, it's like these guys have taken something that he's given you, and then you're going, well, look, yeah, you've played it for money, but the reason that you're playing it for money is because you enjoy the game. That's the thing. Like,
and the groupies.
Absolutely. Like, that's the thing. Like,
I've seen the crowds.
But, like, there is something to be said about this, like you said, Matt, like you started to touch on the point, but how many of the board games in my collection will be still being played in 10, 50, 100 years? How many of them will still have something? Whereas a deck of cards, you can pass to someone and say, you know, like, I looked at this deck of cards, the Italian one, and I went, I've never seen it before in my life, but I immediately had my, like the mind was going, yep, like going, I know what that is.
Yeah.
I understand what this is. And I looked at the deck of cards going, yep, all right, I'm with you. I know what these are supposed to represent. I know, I kind of got the feeling, and now I think
that's it. Really, the key to cards and being passed down is that it doesn't actually matter which deck you get, right? Whether you're playing a westernized deck, whether you're playing individual, like, I actually want to know if there are other types of cards now. I didn't realize they even were.
Yeah. Like, in many cultures, there are different variants of cards.
Well, me and Ralph played. There was a number 11.
Yeah, we...
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. In a 500 deck, you get 11, 12, and 13.
Oh,
yeah,
do you?
Well, yeah.
So you can...
I think we're coming home from a footy game, and we're like, oh, let's go to Kmart, buy a deck of cards. It was like 2, 3 in the morning.
It was, yeah,
and
early morning.
We'll just play cards at a local McDonald's or something. I'm like, yeah, perfect. This is, you know, going back years and years now. And, like, you're so tired. You're a little bit tipsy, whatever. You're playing a deck of cards, and you're like, I'm looking at my cards half seeing double, and I'm like, why is there a 12 in my hand?
I've never seen Ralph laugh like he did that night.
Ralph has stumbled upon the elusive six-player variant of 500.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You can play six-player 500, so you've got all those cards
But that's it, right? That commonality between decks, they can be very different in their design, but they're still at the base level, they're the same. So each board game has so much variation in the pieces of the puzzle, really, you know? Mm. Like, it's harder to pass that down because... Unless it's the physical unit you're passing down to the next generation, then your kids can't go into the store and just find, oh, remember that game, right? That may happen occasionally, but certainly not in every single game instance you've got.
But in saying that as well, like HeroQuest is a big board game that was out, say, about 25 years ago, and it's since had a bit of a resurgence, a bit of a reprint, and people are buying that now to play with their children, which is a beautiful sentiment that they're doing with their child. But like, they might not be interested in that, you know, like they might not want that sort of experience. And that's why something so simple as a card game is very quick to teach, very quick to roll into, and it will stick around for a lot longer.
But your main board games, that's the game. There's no, you don't open up a deck of Monopoly and go, all right, we're going to play something else with this. Yeah, like you play Monopoly with a Monopoly.
I don't open up Treasure Island and go, let's play Flam Rouge, right? Yeah, like it's like we have to play that game. Yeah. And that's right, which is, it's amazing that something as simple as it fits in the palm of your hand, I give you a couple of cards, and now literally the universe is our option, right? Yeah, we have a unique something that's never been seen. We get to play a game. And I think we're all coming to that point of like, passing down those, not just the game, but it is the memories. And like, I still remember the first time I was taught euchre.
Hmm.
I remember the first time I was taught that I was like, we're playing it outdoors. And I remember being taught and then having this whole idea of like, oh, I've only got five cards. Oh, I should save that so I can win the later hand. Like these memories and stuff have really forged how we play the game, how we play games going forward.
Definitely. Definitely.
Right, well.
Yeah, there's a lot of great card games that we actually didn't mention on this cast tonight. You know, there's games like Six Nymphs, which is a game from 93 in Poland that was published initially. So many great card games to discover and find out there. So definitely highly encourage everyone to give that a go.
Yeah, and look, so if you're listening to this and if you happen to be on our Facebook page or YouTube, look, what is one of your favorite card games? Do you have a memory of a card game that you've played?
The Pyramid Scheme is always a good one.
Yeah. Okay, that's...
Questionable?
Questionable?
not for our podcast.
No, that's all right. Look, we're going to wrap this one up here because there are literally so many card games we could talk about, but we won't. But I do think we are not done.
I think we'll revisit it.
Yeah, I think we definitely shall. I think we need to have a look at some of the things that we have. Yeah, and I can probably go back and revisit some of the older board game card games. So I think, speaking of, I think we should go and teach you Briscola. What do you reckon?
I think so.
Yeah, all right. Well, in saying that, that brings us to the end of tonight's podcast. First and foremost, though, I want to thank you, Anthony, for joining us as our third ever special guest on the podcast. So thank you very much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
How was it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I hope I wasn't too awkward for you guys.
You were perfect, mate. Don't worry.
If I'd have known any better, I'd say you've been here many times before.
It's all good. But I'd also like to thank my regular co-host, Mr. Ralph.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, whoa, that, speaking of awkward, and Mr. Matt. you guys are the worst. Alright, in saying that, please go to our website www.boardgamegateway.com. There you'll find all the links to our social medias, Facebook, YouTube channel, our Discord server. Please come and give us a like, give us a follow, leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify if you're enjoying the podcast. We'd love to hear some reviews from you guys this year. But we've got some card games to play, so we're going to bugger off and do that. See you guys next week.
Bye.
So how do I buy Billy?
Oh, I don't know if you can. I don't know.
They kind of rebranded it now.
Get rich quick.
$15.
That's the same game.
$15, yeah. Why not?
It always came in a gold pack.
That'd almost be a great game. That game would almost be really good to play.
Oh, God. What do you reckon? $15? It sounded pretty good.
You know what you can say?